In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was here and now among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven.
God is.
In the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found its fulfillment, God will be. Not denying the world, but delighting in it, not condemning the world, but redeeming it, through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God was, God is, God will be. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. As God's people we have gathered, let us worship him together. Very warm welcome to our worship for this week. It's good to have you here with us. Thank you for your continued love, care, support and prayers as we journey through these days, and your patience, especially as we come to think about reopening St Mary's as we are now able to. There will be information issued to let you know what we're planning with that shortly. So we begin our worship by singing the first of our hymns, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. The grace of God has dawned upon the world with healing for all. Let us come to him in sorrow for our sins, seeking healing and salvation. We need your healing, merciful God. Give us true repentance. Some sins are plain to us, some escape us, some we cannot face. Forgive us, set us free to hear your word to us, set us free to serve you. Amen. May the Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon and forgiveness of all your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your only Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The child Isaac grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named after you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And she sat opposite him. She lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up, and he lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Alleluia, Alleluia. The word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord is the good news announced to you. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus summoned the 12 and sent them out with the following instruction. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Open our eyes, Lord, to see your glory. Open our ears, Lord, to hear your call. Open our lips, Lord, to sing your praises. Then guide us on our pilgrimage of faith, that we may walk with him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. These were the words of Sarah from our Old Testament reading from Genesis last week. Then we recalled how, despite the years of frustration because she was unable to conceive a child, a miracle happened. Isaac was born, and her laughter of disbelief was turned to laughter born of joy. This week, we read the verses that follow and discover how quickly things can change. We heard of how Isaac grew. We heard of a party as he was weaned. And then Sarah sees Isaac playing with Ishmael, the son of Hagar. Hagar was a servant whom Sarah had asked to conceive a child with her husband Abraham, in the hope that I obtain children by her. And so it was. And Ishmael was born, and we assume became part of their life. But when Isaac was born, things changed. Hagar's child, the child she was asked to bear, becomes not a brother for her son, but a rival. So she asks Abraham to get rid of him and them. Perhaps she thought, out of sight, out of mind, as the saying goes. So Abraham gets up early and, in those rather chilling words, sent her away into the wilderness with just a little bread and water to sustain them. And just like last week when we were glad to remember Sarah's laughter, so this week we ponder how this story might also speak to our time. A time when, around the country, People have gathered in solidarity with others around the world to show how Black lives matter. And this is an important moment. We have a chance to put things right, to repent of the racism that has been and continues to be part of life, and renew our commitment to work for equality for all. Part of the journey we are on is about how we deal with our past, a past that is sometimes represented by statues of prominent people, often men. For example, here in Leeds, the Black Prince, Harrison, Watt, Priestley and Hook stand watch over City Square. Just over 200 miles away, another statue of a 17th century slave trader, Edward Colston, in Bristol has been in the news recently. His statue was removed by protesters and eventually ended up in Bristol Harbour. You will all have your own opinion about what happened, but let's just reflect upon it a little through the reading from the Old Testament we've heard this morning. How do we feel as we hear it? Surely we have some sympathy for Hagar, a slave who has given her body to Abraham that she might bear a child, only to be sent away. But what of Sarah and Abraham? How do we feel about them? One question is surely to wonder how they have felt when they'd sent Hagar away. How did they feel when they looked back? For it seems to me that though Hagar and Ishmael may have been out of sight, I doubt they were out of mind. So on one level, this story asks how we relate to our past. We can ponder this question as individuals too, as we consider the things we have done and the things we have left undone, the people in our story we have treated badly. And more widely, we can think of it too as a nation, those stories from our past we'd rather hadn't happened, the wealth generated through the slave trade, for example. Yet both for us as individuals and for us as a nation, though we might want to try and put them out of sight and out of mind, we cannot. Life is more complicated than that, something that I think Sarah and Abraham came to know for themselves. They had, you remember, longed for a child, but it wasn't to be. They were old and unable to conceive. So they chose to invite Hagar to become part of their story. It was a decision that they later appeared to regret, but it was a decision that couldn't be undone. So if we return to men like Edward Colston, whilst this may be a time for tearing down statues that symbolise so much that we regret, it might also be helpful to remember that the choices he made were in a context different from our own. And whilst we might regret past decisions, they cannot be undone. Here in Leeds, I don't know much about the statues around our city or the stories that led them to being erected, but my guess is that those depicted didn't always make what we might consider now the right decisions. For us today, as we ponder the past, renewed in our commitment to rid the world of inequality, it seems to me that the more challenging path to which we are called is one of being reconciled with our past, making that uncomfortable journey as we own up to our past with honesty so that a new future can emerge. And here we return to Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness. Things get desperate and Hagar cannot take it anymore. She cannot bear to see the child she loves die, so she looks away. Yet from this place of desperation and abandonment comes that lovely line, "For God has heard the voice of the boy where he is." God was not going to let this child, who had been cast out for no fault of their own, be forgotten. There was to be a new future for him. Hagar then sees a well of water, a spring of life appears in the wilderness, and the child grew. A hopeful ending to a sad tale of betrayal. So let me gather up a few thoughts about this memorable reading. When we have remembered how Sarah's laughter turned to fear, then betrayal and abandonment, out of sight but not out of mind, I cannot believe that the decision they made did not haunt them. It was a cruel thing to do. However, this story is a helpful reminder that we all have a past, as individuals and as a nation. Part of that past will bring regret to mind, for we've all made the wrong choice sometimes, choices we cannot undo, but we have to learn to live with them. We have to repent. We have to be reconciled. For us, that reconciliation is possible because of our faith, for we believe in the God who heard the voice of the boy where he was. We believe in a God who hears us now in the midst of this life, with all our fears and anxieties, and leads us on. That isn't always easy, but it is hopeful, so that like Hagar, we too might see the water of new life in the wilderness we walk through at this time. Amen. Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave. He was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Lord of glory, we ask you to show us more of yourself, inspire our prayers, and pour down your blessings upon us. We join with other churches today to pray for the Church of Nigeria, for its bishop and congregations. And in our diocese, we pray for the Bishop of Leeds, Nick Baines, and for all working at the Leeds Diocesan Office in York Place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for all who are suffering from COVID-19. Give them the strength to fight this overwhelming pandemic. Support their families and friends at this worrying time. We ask for Christ's calming reassurance to bring peace of mind and spirit to all who are worried about the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who have worked so tirelessly to nurse them, for all hospital personnel, for those working in care homes, for paramedics, St John's Ambulance, and for all carers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our sorrows and sympathies are for those who have died. Support the bereaved. Sustain them as they grieve. We bring to you all who are lonely, even more so at this unprecedented time. For our loved ones, families and friends, and especially those from whom we are separated. We pray for the residents of Laurel Hill View. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Father, we pray for all shops and food outlets, that their businesses are able to recover, especially for small businesses who have suffered most, and that people will shop safely. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for greater trust and friendship between your people, Lord, that people are not led into foolish actions in the heat of the moment. We pray for those who have been entrusted with power and responsibilities to govern the people, that sensible and thought-out decisions are taken to quench the recent racial tensions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who would normally attend Silver Lining Lunch Club for the elderly and for all who work to provide them with a lunch. For the cathedrals in our diocese, opening for private prayer, for all our clergy and lay readers. We thank you, Lord, for the work of Crossgate's Good Neighbours, who continue to support those who need help. For local people, keeping an eye on each other's needs, assisting where necessary, either with a phone call chat or picking up some shopping, passing on books, jigsaws, garden produce or newly baked biscuits. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are ill, for the many who have been loath to attend doctors, for cancelled hospital appointments and operations, that they ask and receive aid in their suffering. And we mention by name Pam Wood, George Brown, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy and Jennifer Mode. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who have died, especially those violently, tragically, suddenly and unprepared. We remember with fondness those whom we love, whose anniversary of death falls at this time. Although this day is touched with sadness, we thank you, Lord, for the time we spent with them and for the wonderful memories we have, especially of Patrick Parkinson, Jonathan Mills, Edgar Lister and Douglas Colby. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the capacity to be positive and encouraging in all our relationships, for the right words to say in order to be peacemakers and witnesses to God's immeasurable love. United with the Church across the world, let us pray with confidence, using the words our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, you hold both heaven and earth in a single piece. Let the design of your great love shine on the waste of our anger and sorrow, and give peace to your church, peace among the nations, peace in our homes, and peace in our hearts. In Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
for all that God can do within us, for all that God can do without us. Thanks be to God, for all in whom Christ lived before us, for all in whom Christ lives beside us. Thanks be to God, for all the Spirit wants to bring us, for where the Spirit wants to send us. Thanks be to God. Christ has promised to be with us, in the world as in our worship. Amen. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you, your homes, and those whom you love, this day and always.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Blessing, honour and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen.